judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Oh, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh,
he shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Let the heavens rejoice.
Hallelujah. Here we are today. And as that wonderful song has just ministered to us, give me Jesus. That is all we live for. That is what our life is for him and him alone. And anything other than that is secondary, is not the best for what God has for us. Praise his name. Well, bless you all, and a very blessed and happy and prosperous new year to you all. And here we are facing the new year. We don't know what is around the corner, but one thing we do know, and that is we walk by faith and not by sight. And whatever we face, whatever befalls us, we know that Jesus is with us. We are never alone. And that is of great value that money can't buy. Praise his name. Well, in his mercy, he's brought us here today to come into his presence, and he wants to speak to us and encourage us. And I have a title for our message today, and that is that God has a plan for the end times. God has a plan for the end times. And it's important that we don't lose sight of this, because many are going their own way. Are deciding to put their self-interests first before seeking the kingdom of God. And it's vital that we know the way we're walking in these last days. It's important to know that there is a plan, there is a blueprint. You wouldn't go out on a journey in a car unless you knew where you were going. Or even if we're going to a new place, we either look at our maps or put our sat navs on, but we're working a journey, we're working a plan, we're getting from A to B. And it seems as though so many of our brothers and sisters haven't a clue why they still live in this life as sojourners, that there is a walk hand. There's left and right hand turns to take. There's all sorts of conditions, just like when we motor, when we drive. We don't always know what our journey is going to be, how much traffic there's going to be, how much congestion, but it's a journey. And our purpose is to get to the end of our destination. That's the goal. That's why we get in our cars. That's why we go on a journey for that very purpose. And yet, when it comes to walking with God, somehow we forget all that. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Well, it does. And that is why God has given us the deeper light teaching. That is why we needed to hear the prophets speak in the last days. This is why we need the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Because in those ministries, those callings, they give the revelation of God's will for God's body for the last days. And there is a lot that God has been revealing over the years with regard to our walk as overcomers. And what do we find through the seasons? He simply confirms and reconfirms and confirms and confirms. You see, some have gone away because they're not sure of the revelation of this walk for the last days. They become unsure. But you see, one of the things they're failing is that our Heavenly Father loves us, and He is a God of love and mercy and grace. And He knows how to guide us in these last days. And if we let Him do it, He will guide us and He will lead us. Because we have all prayed, we all seek the Lord, and God wants the very best for us, as any father would want. And if we were off course, or if we had embraced a wrong revelation, a wrong understanding of God's will, wouldn't our Heavenly Father reveal that to us? Would He not tell us? Is that why we've not received the Holy Spirit, who's come as a comforter to lead us and to guide us into all truth? That is His ministry. So we can rest assured that He is sovereign, He is in control, and He is guiding our footsteps. That is why we preach faith. That is why we preach that simple childlike faith, to trust God in these very basic elements of our walk. And this is why at times we go back to the foundation of our walk, to remind ourselves from where our calling has come from, with God's overall plan for His church and the overcomers. One thing we should know and learn as overcomers: never, ever to doubt God's love for His church, His body, for you and me. If you're going to have areas of unbelief, then have it somewhere, but don't have it where God's love is concerned for you and I. Settle that one, because you have no gospel otherwise. It is the gospel of love. A profound love. A love that laid its life down for you and I, whose name is Jesus. Never, ever lose sight of that, because everything else will fit into place as you walk with the Lord. And that is why God has a plan to be fulfilled for the end times.
Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 21, verses 43 to 45 of Joshua 21. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Well, if God says that to rebellious, stiff-necked Israel, how much more does he say it now to his body through Jesus Christ, his Son? We know that Israel, in her rebellion, when God raised up after Joshua the judges, we know that Israel fell further and further into idolatry. But God is always faithful. And under the ministry of Moses and Joshua, God was faithful to rebellious Israel and gave them the portion of their land to each tribe. That was important in those days. It was important to be identified somewhere, to have a possession. That is how God revealed it to them. But sadly, they soon lost sight of God, his provision, and what he did, and their history. But we know that human nature doesn't change, because God has to remind us also. God reminded Israel many, many times of their great deliverance from Egypt. They had a history like no other nation on earth has had. And God reminded them constantly through the teachers and the prophets. And God, through the Holy Spirit, continues to remind us of our journey that we're on, all aiming towards the kingdom of God. And so, as God was faithful here, as we've read, fulfilling the promises, so God will fulfill the promises to us, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So much of this walk, we know, is a waiting game, and we're not very good at it. But you know, in our waiting on God, there is so much that he does with us behind scenes that we don't see straight away. But after a time when we have waited, and sometimes for many years, the promise does come. What a work he's done in our lives and hearts. It's profound. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. And verse 9, which says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what is your calling? Quite clear, you are called into the fellowship of his Son. Fellowship means relationship. You're called into relationship with him through his Son. And again, that is the emphasis of the Deeper Life teaching. We have much, don't we, about fellowship, relationship with the Lord. Why is there such an emphasis on this? It's quite simple, because this is the way the bride makes herself ready. She makes herself ready by that relationship, that fellowship with him. As it can't be achieved. What does it say also in 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So he not only calls you and I, but in that calling, he reveals that he's faithful, and his faithfulness is that he will do it. I think we tend to forget that in our calling and God's faithfulness, it's all about his glory. God is jealous for his glory, and that's why he will fulfill it. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Well, actually, let's go from verse 1. Titus chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but as in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Saviour. So we see again that God cannot lie, as he says, because he's promised before time began. So in other words, what we reveal there, even before time, before creation, before the heavens and the earth were made, God had always promised. God's word was always there because he is the word. The promises have always been there. There's never a time when the promises were not. So how assured should we be? And how does he manifest this? Verse 3 tells us, through the preaching of the word, the anointed word. The word of God is to remind you of God's promises, God's faithfulness. That is why we preach. That is why we come and we listen to the word of God, because the word of God continues to keep us focused to it, to his voice, to his word, the promises of what he said. And we need to hear them, because life is not always easy. This walk, this life can be difficult. And the trials and the tests, and the enemy is ever there trying to blind our eyes from the faithfulness of God and the word of God. And so that is why the word of God is also that washing for us. It cleanses us. It cleans us. It gets rid of all the grime and the dirt and the dust and everything. Because this is what we have to do in life. Not only do we have to wash, but we have to wash things. We have to keep the house clean, the children clean, the car clean, and you name it. Because in time it gets grimed, it gets dirty. Well, how much more us spiritually do we need to constantly come in the presence of God, and especially through the preaching of the word, which the apostle was doing. He saw the importance of this because it reminded God's people of God's promises, and that he was faithful, and to keep with it, to endure, to stay with it. You will see it come. God won't fail you. I know we're believing even in this life, as we walk each day for things. God has promised to provide. He's promised to feed us, to clothe us, to give us houses. They are just the basics. And many, 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 many more things. That is why I do believe in the abundant life. Because that is the nature and heart of God. But so many give up because they can't wait. And they think it's easier to go and trust in the arm of the flesh. And God sometimes allows us to do that simply to show that it's a thorn in the flesh when you trust in the arm of the flesh. And we don't want those thorns. It's confusion, it's bondage, it's control. If there is anything that I have learnt and am experiencing through this deeper light teaching, is that God is unfettering us. He is delivering us. He is setting us free from trusting and turning to the arm of the flesh. The arm of the flesh is just a patch-up work. The arm of the flesh can never get to the heart of a situation. Only God can get to our hearts. And that is why the deeper life in nature is deliverance. And that is why, as we read in verse 3, this preaching of the word is also deliverance to us, healing to us, salvation to us, wholeness in mind, body and spirit. The arm of the flesh can't give that. And so when we opened up in this with Joshua 21, we showed you that the land was to be possessed, was to be taken, because God had promised them a promised land. And they went through a lot of trial and testing, chastenings, but God promised according to his word. We know this again in Joshua chapter 1, verse 11. And what did he say to them? How they were going to possess this land? He said, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross this Jordan and go to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. What is God doing with us? He's preparing us to cross our Jordan. The cross, discipleship, commitment. You see, the Jordan supernaturally opened up and God paved a pathway through for that whole nation to go through. It was supernatural. And it meant that going through, there was no turning back. You couldn't, because once they were over, all the waters came back. So they couldn't go back. And that is the teaching of the deeper life. That once you've taken it on, you've embraced it, you've gone through that open door, there's no turning back. There's nothing to turn back to. The children of Israel could not go back into their bondage any longer. And he parted those waters back to show them that they were to turn around and move forward to take the promised land, to root out the enemy. And that is what God does with you and I. He places us in a situation where there's no going back, it's going forward. And praise God for that. Some of our brothers and sisters have gone back. And are they fulfilled? Are they blessed? Are they happy? No, I can tell you they're not. Because there's no going back. You can't go back to your old roots. God has a way of uprooting us and moving us forward. That is why salvation is the most radical thing that happens to your life. You're never the same again when God touches you and redeems you and receives you into his presence. It's going forward, putting your hand to that plough and not turning back. And we confidently can do that, brothers and sisters, because God loves us. That's why. You can move forward with absolute assurance, because that moving forward is where the bride makes herself ready. She's making herself ready to rule and reign with Christ in possessing the land. This, of course, is spiritual now, and this is why the Lord will make all his enemies his footstool. And he's in the process of doing this. And your ruling and reigning, your remaining with this as an overcomer, is all part of dividing Satan's kingdom. That's why he hates this. That's why he stops so many embracing the deeper life teaching. Sadly, we lose more than we ever keep. But there's a reason for that. Because they've allowed the enemy to rob them of their possession that is theirs, their rewards. God has a way, you know, to make us desperate. He has a way where he'll make you jealous for what God has given you. He'll work in you where, if need be, you'll be violent in the spirit, in warfare, because you're not going to give up what God has promised and given you. I think he's working that nature, that spirit within us. We're all at times too passive, too content. He's got to make fighters out of us. Warriors who can rise up in spiritual warfare and take that land that God has promised and given. Because that is the power of your prayers and your intercessions before Almighty God. And if you're not sure of that, then ask God to give you a revelation of that. Because the bride is marrying to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why God is delivering us right in the enemy's camp. He's delivering us of that pride, that unbelief, that independence of spirit, where we still want to do it our own way. And he weakens us right in the enemy's camp. And we feel at times that we're going under. We can't take any more. It looks as though the enemy's triumphed over me, mocking me, making fun of me. Hold in there. Stay in there. Don't give up. It may be looking like that, but what is God doing? He's getting rid of that pride, that unbelief, that independence of spirit. And you will rise up in the power and strength of Almighty God and put the enemy to flight. That's what he's doing with you and I. And that's why, at the moment in the natural, it looks so pathetic, so hopeless, so ridiculous. But they're the very means and ways that he's raising us up. There was nothing that looked more ridiculous and hopeless than our Lord and Saviour going to the cross, the King of the Jews, What a joke, what a laugh. And they mocked him. But they didn't mock him anymore when God raised him up in power and might, triumphing over all his enemies. Oh, they weren't laughing and mocking then. And it is the same work that he's doing with you and me as well. And that is why God is getting us to let go, so that Jesus can execute his enemies in and through you and me. We have to let go so that the power of God within your life puts the enemy to flight. Because it's not by might nor by power, it is by his Spirit, says the Lord. You see, the deeper life is really getting a remnant who will move with God in obedience and faith. That's the ultimate work. And I'm afraid that takes many years, not something that's done just overnight. And not only does it take many years, but it requires a great deliverance. Well, let's just remind ourselves then of what he has been doing with us over the years. As we're facing this new year, it's good to reflect, to think on, to go back over things, to see what he's been doing with our lives. So what has he been dealing with us over the years? Well, he saves us by a calling. We know that unless God calls, none of us will respond. Unless that calling is there, we're not interested in God. We're interested in our own things and what we want to do. Let's just remind ourselves of the scriptures. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Wow. You know, I could preach for 6 months just on those few verses. What is just there? But I'm going to give to you just very briefly what we have just read there. And he knew that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we have a revelation in verse 28 of this, if you're truly called. There's an understanding, there's a knowing that whatever's happening in my life, it's working together for good because I love God and I know I'm called according to his purpose. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it is, how crazy it looks, whatever's going through my life, I know that I know that I know. And it's according to his purpose. In other words, he's allowing it, he's permitting it, because there's always a bigger, greater picture at the end of it. And in verse 29, for whom he foreknew. So God knows before the foundation of the earth. God has always known. There's never a time when he did not know. And he's also predestined. In other words, he's planned it. He's gone before in Jesus Christ. So that your walk every day is not an accident. not chance. Every step that you take, everything you say, you do, every breath that you take is predestined of God and never takes God by surprise. And it's for a purpose, so that you are conformed to his image. So everything in your calling, the work of predestination, is that you will be and are in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Because he was the firstborn among many brethren. And verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. So he's repeating again. So there's a calling. You're predestined for it. These he also justified. So you have to be justified, made right in the image of God. That's what it means. And whom he justifies, these he also glorifies. And glorification means that you will be with him in glory in eternity forever. Look what is there in just those few verses. It's absolutely profound. Well, if you're still not convinced, let's look to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So what Peter is saying here is believe. Believe all of this that you read and heard. And allow the Holy Spirit to work that in your life. So there is our responsibility. Because that is what covenant is about. It's two agreeing, coming together in agreement. So on our side of it, we're diligent about this. So what does it mean to be diligent? It means you do what God asks you to do. Our diligence has brought us here today in this room for fellowship, to hear the word of God. This is about being diligent. Because we're to make our call and election sure. In other words, my faith, my obedience, this has been confirmed to me. It's assured to me that I am his, called from the foundation of the world. And he says, if you do these things, you won't stumble. You won't be caught off guard, in other words. So again, we see that the Holy Spirit has come in order for that to be achieved and done in our lives. So God saves us by calling us. And so we know that if we're not called, none of us will be here today. We'll all be doing our own thing, just choosing which way to sin. And he preserves us. We've been looking at this word, to preserve. Well, God's got to preserve. If he calls, then he's got to preserve it. Preserve it from what? From this life, sin, sickness, disease, the enemy, the devil. He has the place of preservation. Psalm 31 and verse 23. Psalm 31 and verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. So there we are. It's everywhere in Scripture where the Lord preserves the faithful. That's what he wants, faithfulness. And that is a sign you're being preserved. You see, preservatives, as we know, are important. I'm sure most of us, like ham, And we can buy ham, or we can buy a joint of ham, and we can cook it, boil it slowly, or whatever. And cold ham can be lovely with a salad or whatever. But that ham you're eating has been preserved in salt for that flavour, preserved and kept until it's right in which to eat. And that, of course, is how much was preserved where culinary and food was concerned back in the old days. They preserved with salt. And so God preserves and keeps us. He preserves and keeps us so that we're well, we're healthy, we're spiritually healthy, we're flourishing, and so on. That's how he keeps us. So there not only has to be a calling, but there also has to be a preservation set over you. You're preserved, you're kept under him. That's why I love the analogy when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have the stamp of soul upon you. You're not for sale. You're not for anyone else's possession. Sold. Period. Done. That's God's possession. That is his claim, his right, his love over your life and my life. And that is why he's jealous over you. Because he has brought you with a price. You are not your own. Now for some, that can be wonderful, wonderful news. For others, that sounds oppressive. That sounds as though I'm trapped in. I no longer have any control over my life. I can't do what I want to do, whatever it is. Well, that's the enemy's perversion. You see, God's love doesn't work that way. See, God's love doesn't control unless you ask him to do so. And even then, his control is not like human control. Human nature, human control, and sadly you find it so often in relationships, is always based on self. What I want out of it. See, God's love is infinitely greater than that. God's controlling love is agape love. And that is so much different. So there we are. These are just some of the things to remind ourselves of God's plan for the end times. And so he reveals himself, doesn't he? Through this calling and preserving us. He gives us revelation. Brothers and sisters, you have been given great revelation to understand the deeper life teaching. Not all embrace it. Not all understand it. Why is it you do, I do? And you can talk it to others who confess Christ and they haven't got a clue what you're saying. Why? Because it's revealed to you. God sometimes has secrets and he only reveals it to a certain few. We saw that with the disciples, Peter, James and John. He often took aside or took them up onto a hill and revealed secrets to them, which wasn't always to the other disciples. See, God knows. He knows our hearts. He knows us better than ourselves. We also, through this revelation, have the teaching of faith. I don't know many who are teaching a total faith message of the last days. Very, very few teach this because it's a hot potato. is controversial. It will get you into a lot of trouble. And that's why it's so easy for preachers to compromise. If there's anything that I ask you to pray for me, that I would remain faithful to the Word of God and not compromise. That is my heart's desire as a preacher and teacher to you and all those that listen. And so he separates us for this, doesn't he? In other words, he sanctifies us, sets us apart for the deeper life teaching. Don't try and understand it. Don't try and work it out because it doesn't make any sense. And so often in this separation and sanctification for the deeper life teaching, you feel at times you're the only one that's walking it. Nobody else seems to walk with you. And you think sometimes, can I be the only one? Well, God knows that's probably how he gets our attention. He wouldn't get it so much otherwise if we were so sidetracked by so many other people. And it's not to say that there shouldn't be other people and that we don't have fellowship and so on. But so often our everyday walk is between you and God, because that's how he can train you. And we find that through the deeper life teaching, he's brought us under ministry gifts. In other words, he's brought us under the anointing. Sadly, there's a lot out there, but it's not really the anointing. It's just intellectual teaching, understanding of biblical things and historical things. But it's not always the anointing, because the anointing always accompanies revelation. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. Because the God's sheep must have revelation to follow God. It's not enough just to teach history or to have ideas and thoughts and theological ideas of the Word of God. It's not enough. God's sheep can only be called by revelation, because it's revelation that saved them. And that revelation was Jesus Christ revealing himself to you and me. And when we get under this ministry, this anointing, this unction, what starts to happen? Deliverance. God starts to deliver, to change us, to circumcise the heart. Because he's working within us, love, obedience, faith. And that's why it takes the deeper life, the Word, in which to do this, that two-edged sword. Because ultimately, God is preparing us to minister in these last days, to be witnesses, to be trained for warfare, to get this prayer life and this relationship with God, where we come to that place that we do only that which is revealed to us. God has been working this in you and I right up to now, today, this moment. He's been working that in us, and it doesn't change. And that is why he calls us to be faithful, to be patient, to wait, because God is ultimately doing it. Unless you have revelation of the deeper life, you do not have a revelation of the promised land in these last days. It has to be revealed. The church, as I close now, it's at a desperate point in this time of history. It is failing to see that she has one last final battle. And that is to bring down the enemy, to usher in the kingdom of God. And the church is completely asleep on this one, has lost all sight of this. But there is a remnant who is keeping awake, who is putting that oil into their vessels as well as their lamps. They're awake for this. They may have little strength, but they're still awake. They're still looking for the bridegroom to come. They have asked God, please don't let me go to sleep. Whatever it takes, keep me awake in these last days. And do you know what? God will answer that. He won't turn his back on that. He'll keep you and I awake so that we are prepared, we're ready, we're not caught off guard. He doesn't come like a thief in the night. Well, brothers and sisters, that is what I believe the Lord has impressed to me to share with you. God's plan for the end times. Stay with it. Don't believe the devil's lie. Whatever others are doing, let them do. You do what you know is right, what God has revealed to you and continues to reveal to you, even to this day, now, this moment. Praise God.
Brought low.